Pastor Dave. Sunday morning. 5th of April, 2026. The Easter Sunday 2026 message from Luke chapter 24, verses 33 to 53.
It's great, isn't it, to be in this family service to celebrate together. And we are going to celebrate together, so I'm going to need everyone's help. And you'll be pleased to know that for our Easter quiz, well, we've got some Easter eggs. So I'm going to open up the Easter eggs. Now, Stephen's looking excited. Here we go. Here we go. Right. Oh, I can't open that one. Oh, no. There we go. There we go. Right. So here is our first question. I don't want anyone to shout out. I'm going to need to see some hands up. Who knows what special day it is today? Oh, Matthew's hand was first. What day is it? It is Easter Sunday. There you go. You can have two, I think. Two seems fair, doesn't it?
Yeah, two seems fair.
Two seems fair. Two seems fair. Right. Okay. Who knows what day it was 2 days ago? Yeah, go on, Daniel. Good Friday. That's right. It was Good Friday. Well done. There you go. Right, who can tell me what happened on Good Friday? Who can tell me what happened? Oh, Molly was next there. Go on, Molly, what happened?
Jesus died.
That's right. Yes, I've got some for you. Well, yours are a bit bigger. You can have one, look. Yours are about twice as big. That's right. Jesus was put to death on Good Friday, wasn't he? He was put to death on a cross. He didn't deserve it. He'd never done anything wrong. He never said or did anything against God's rules. But because the leaders hated him and they wanted to kill him, they lied about him. And the Romans crucified him. They put him to death on a cross. Okay, here's another one. Can anyone tell me why Jesus was buried on Good Friday? Why was Jesus buried on Good Friday? Go on, Daniel.
I was
going to
say, because he was
dead. Yeah, because he was dead. That's a good answer. You can get one for that. That is a good answer, but it's not the whole answer. Why was Jesus buried on... Go on, Molly, what do you think?
Because he died on
the cross. Yeah, that's true. That's pretty much the same as Daniel's answer. Anyone from the grown-ups want to have a go? Why was Jesus... Yeah, go on, Hazel.
Because he couldn't be left to hang there through the sun.
Yes, that is exactly right. Let me make my way down to you. There you go. Well done, Hazel.
Thank you.
You get two of them.
Oh, two?
Two? Yeah, no, two. You can share one, Steve, if you want. Or you can eat them both yourself. That's right. So the Saturday, that was the Jewish people's special day at the time. And so they thought, well, we don't want these dead bodies hanging around. Let's take him down so he's not around on our special Saturday. And they took him down. And who can tell me where was he buried? Where is anyone? Someone who's not answered before yet? Anyone want to answer? Where was he buried? Yeah, go on, Matthew.
I think he's probably buried in a tree, because if he weren't Jesus and you were buried, you'd probably have been buried in a grave. But since you're Jesus, you'd probably want to be buried in a tomb.
That is exactly right. He was buried in a tomb, so you can get another couple of them. It was Joseph's tomb. Well done. Yeah. Who said, which of you said that? Yeah, there you go. It was a little bit of shouting out, but I'll give you that. So it was Joseph's tomb. We think maybe it looks a little bit like this, and probably not without the hole in the top. That's a sort of cutaway diagram, just to be clear. And who knows what happened to the tomb after Jesus was buried? Anyone know who's not answered before? Could you know? What did they have gone? Yeah, that's right. Oh, they rolled the stone over. There you go. Yes. Thank you. You can have two if you want. Yes. So, this stone was rolled in the front. Now, is there anyone here who thinks that they're strong? Is anyone strong? Yeah, Jacob looks strong, doesn't he? Right, come on up, Jacob. So, there we go. Right, can you lift my bag of concrete up? Can you lift it up with one hand? Can you lift it up with one hand? Just one hand. Can you lift it up with both hands? Don't drop it on your feet. We'll be in big trouble. Hey, round of applause. There you go. You've earned your prize there.
Oh, okay.
So my bag of concrete weighs about 25 kilograms. Yes, about the same as you do. So that weighs about 25 kilograms. Do you think you could lift more than one? If you worked hard, maybe you did them one at once. When Jesus was buried and they rolled the stone in the front, it didn't just weigh 25 kilograms. It didn't weigh 50 kilograms. It didn't weigh 100 kilograms. It might have weighed 1,000 kilograms. 1,000 kilograms for the stone that they rolled in. So that's maybe 40 times my bag of cement. Do you think you could lift that?
No,
I don't think I could lift that. So when Jesus' body was put in the tomb and when the stone was rolled in front of it, nobody was going to get in to get his body. Not the disciples, not the Jewish leaders, not anybody. On Good Friday, Jesus was dead and buried and shut in. And in a bit, we're going to read a story, a true story from the Gospel of Luke about Jesus' life. But we've got another question. Can anyone tell me what Luke did for a living? Anyone tell me what Luke did for a living?
I know what he did. Did he tell them where Jesus was?
Ooh, what did he do for a job? Anyone tell me what he did? Dwally, do you know?
Soldier.
He wasn't a soldier. That's a good guess. Anyone tell me what he did? What did he do, Becca? He was a doctor, that's right. There you go. Luke was a doctor. Well, now did you know, a few years ago, they did a survey about what jobs could be trusted. They did a survey about what jobs could be trusted. So, who can put their hand up and tell me, what jobs do you think are least trusted? Let's have some of the grown-ups. What jobs are least trusted? Yeah, go on, Stephen. Politician. Okay, any other guesses?
Estate.
Ooh, interesting. Estate agent. Anyone, I'm asking for the grown-ups, sister. Anyone else from the grown-ups? What jobs are least trusted? What do you think? Go on, Pete. Tax man. Wow. Well, so at number three, least trusted profession, number three is advertising executive. So someone who makes adverts, that is the least, number three, least trusted. Number two, government minister. Okay, that's number two, so a bit more specific. So someone who's really important in the government. And number one, least trusted job was politician. Anyone say, who said politician? Anyone say that? Yeah, there you go. Well, it is bad news for Stephen, though, because apparently private landlord is number five least trusted. Number five least trusted. So who knows, according to the same, you can look it up, according to the same poll, which jobs were most trusted? Anyone want to have a guess which jobs were most trusted? Go on, Molly, what do you think? Doctor, okay. Any other guesses?
So I was going to say, if you were going to roll a stone away and you had to build a stone or something using concrete, like to get the stones together, that would probably be a job.
Oh yeah, a builder. Yeah, good thinking. What jobs are most trustworthy? What do you think? Go on, Stephen. Lawyer. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, go on. What do you think? A teacher. That's right. Put your hand up if you trust your teacher. Whoa. Oh, not much trust for teachers here. Well, according to the poll, yeah, Hillary trusts teachers. A mother. While that is a job, you don't often get paid for it. I think this is paid jobs only. So, at the top of the list, number three was teachers. Number two, I wasn't. They were near the bottom, Prime Minister. Number two, scientists. And number one was doctors. There you go. Now, I know it's not a survey from Luke's day. Okay, they didn't go back in time and ask people around Luke, but you get the idea, don't you, that doctors look at evidence and they try and find causes and they look into things. And if we read Luke's account, that's what it sounds like. That Luke talked to people who were there and he put it together in his gospel, in his account, and he gathered evidence and we can trust what he says. That Easter isn't made up. And Luke put it together. I have got here, we're going to write some of our answers down. So, you want to watch out though, because I've got here a lion. So that you watch out for the lion. This is a lion that I borrowed from Molly. And you've got to watch out because lions are pretty scary, aren't they? But you may have noticed, I'm going to break it to you gently, this is not a real lion. This is a real lion. This is not a real lion. So I want you to tell me, what can my real lion not do? What can my real lion... Go on, Molly. It can't do what?
Roar.
No, it can't roar. It certainly can't roar. What else?
It can't hear
me. That's right. It can't hear me. It can't walk. What else? What else? Go on.
I've got
three things. Okay.
I mean, you could just put down all the senses.
All the senses. Yeah, we could put down all the senses. That's five things, really, isn't it? It can't speak, that's right. Although lions can't speak generally, can they? But they can roar, which is kind of like speaking when you're a lion. Go on, Marley, what do you think?
It can't hunt.
It can't hunt, that's right. Yeah, what do we think here? What can it not do?
It can't eat.
It can't eat. No, you're right. It can't eat. Okay. Well, now we've got another one on the screen. So what I did, I asked to generate a picture of me. So there is, when I asked ChatGPT to generate a picture of me, this is what it came up with, and you'll see it looks quite a lot like me. Who thinks that looks like me? Yes, it does. Yeah, thank you, children. It looks like me. My hair is a little bit shorter. I have one or two more wrinkles. But this is AI Dave. Okay, this is AI Dave, and I want you to tell me, what can AI Dave not do? Go on, Molly.
Move.
Yeah, AI Dave can't move. What else?
Well, he can't actually talk.
He can't talk. No, that's right. We've got that speak. He can't speak. Go on, what can't he do?
Everything that
Dave. Yeah, he can't be incredibly brave and handsome and... Yeah, that's true. I'm not very brave. Go on.
He can't actually fart.
He can't fart. No, that is true. Shall I write that down here? I'll put it down in the bottom. They're very small. That's right. That's a bit rude there, isn't it? Not that I do that, of course. Okay, we've got the next one. Stop giggling at the back there. Let's get the next one. So this is a picture of what Jesus' body might have looked like. So after Jesus was lifted down off the cross and they wrapped him up in this white wrapping and they put a load of spices in it. And what is it that Jesus' body can't do?
Anything that Jesus Jesus couldn't
really lead it. Yeah, anything that Jesus couldn't. So can it roar? No. Can it walk? Can it hear me? Got any senses? Can it speak? Can it hunt? No. Can it eat? Can it move? No. No. It can't do any of those things because it's not alive. Okay, I feel like we've got the idea of this. When you're alive, you can do all these things. When you're not alive, you cannot roar, walk, hear, hunt, speak, eat, or move. And that, when Jesus had died on the cross on Good Friday, he was in the not alive category. Well, now I'm going to read a section from Luke's report of Jesus' life. So if you've got the piece of paper, you'll find that. And if you look on the top, there's a little number 33. And you are all going to help me out with this. So you are all Jesus' disciples. Okay, every one of you is Jesus' disciples. And just to set the scene, it's a Sunday. It's the day after the Saturday, after the Friday. And Jesus' disciples, that's all of you, were gathered in a room together. And they've just heard a story from two of Jesus' other followers that Jesus has appeared. So you're the disciples, and I want you to imagine we're in this room together. Let's read it. They were all gathered together. They were saying, "It's true. The Lord has risen. He's appeared to Simon." Then the two of them told what had happened to them on the way. They told how they'd recognized Jesus when he broke the bread. The disciples were still talking about this when Jesus himself suddenly stood among them. So I need someone to be Jesus. Do you want to come and be Jesus for me? No, okay. Daniel, do you want to come and be Jesus? How do you feel about fish? You're not the biggest. You might manage it. Okay, so Jesus came and stood among them. Hang on, we've got... Oh. There we go. So Jesus came and stood among them and said,
"May you have peace."
Whoa, may you have peace. And there he was. How do you think they felt? They'd got Jesus in the not alive box. They knew he died on the cross. They knew he'd been buried in a tomb with a big rock. And what did they think when they saw Jesus? "This is you." They were surprised. Not bad, not bad. Yeah, and they were terrified. Not seen a lot of terror. They were terrified because they thought they were seeing a ghost. Jesus said to them,
"Why are you troubled? Why do you have doubts in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It's really me."
Yeah. "Touch me and see. A ghost does not have body or bones, but you can see I do." Have you got a body?
Yeah.
You got bones?
Yeah.
Yeah, otherwise you'd be a blob, wouldn't you? After he said that, he showed them his hands and his feet. Let everyone see your hands and your feet. Because that was where the nails went in. And they gave him a piece of cooked fish. There you go. So this is tuna. Okay. Do you like tuna? Can you manage to eat a tiny piece of tuna to demonstrate? Yeah. There you go. So it's not the same fish that they caught. Yes. Well done. Thank you. Thank you. Can ghosts eat fish? No. It would go right through them. Can Molly's toy lion eat fish? No. Can AI Dave eat fish? No. Can a dead body eat fish? No. Can Jesus eat fish? Yes. None of those things in the not alive category. They can't roar, walk, hear, speak, hunt, eat, or move. And all those things that people can't do, Jesus did them. He took it, didn't he? And he ate it in front of all of them. Thank you. You can go and sit down now. Where's his chocolate? Where, we got some fish. Oh. All right, then. There you go, Jesus. You can have a couple of chocolates. Dead people can't eat mini eggs either, can they? There you go. And do you see the point that Luke is showing us? That Jesus is here and he's really alive. That Jesus was here and he's really alive. The same Jesus that walked and lived and talked and ate with the disciples for 3 years, and they knew him. They knew what he looked like. They'd talked to him and they'd listened to him and they'd seen his hands and his feet. And they knew that he was dead. And here he was, doing these things that only living people can do. Not a ghost, not a dream, not a hallucination. He makes it really clear, doesn't he? Touch my hands and my feet. See, feel my body and bones. I'm real. It's me. That Luke, if you read earlier, he makes it really clear that Jesus was dead. And now he makes it so clear Jesus is really alive. And the disciples find it really hard to get their heads around because it is so amazing. It almost feels too good to be true, doesn't it? That death is not the end. That life can come again. That Jesus was dead and now raised to life. And that is such good news for all of us. Because we know that we suffer and we struggle. And one day each one of us will die. And Easter is great news because Jesus is alive. That death is not the end. That our hero, our happiness, our rescuer has been raised to life. Jesus is really alive. We thought so far about Jesus being really alive and how Luke's made that really clear. We're going to think a bit about what that means. So I've got here two more questions. I want you to help me with what will happen before the end of the service. So what will definitely happen before the end of the service? What do you think, Molly? Yeah, questions. And answers. Yeah, okay. What else is definitely going to happen? Me, I'm going to speak. That's pretty much a given most of the time, isn't it? Speak. What else is definitely going to happen? What about some? Go on, Barbara. We are going to sing again, you think? Well, we'll find out. We're going to sing again. What else? What else is definitely going to happen? Go on, Matthew, what do you think? I'm going to put the lid, lid on pen. Yeah, that's that. I like that thinking. Okay. How about, go on, Pete.
You're
going to
say amen at the end.
I'm going to say amen. Okay. What is not going to happen before the end of the service? Go on, Molly, what do you think? Okay, the cat is going to come in. We'll find out. Okay, what else is not going to happen? What else is not going to happen? Go on, what do you think? I'm going to go to the toilet before the end of the service. Okay. What else, grown-ups? What else is not going to happen? Come on, grown-ups. Before the end of the service. Ooh. Okay, eat. Cross buns. One more that's not going to happen before the end of the service. What do you think? Go on, Matthew.
You're not going to turn off that speaker.
Oh, yeah, turn off the microphone. Well, hang on. Yeah, that's right, isn't it? There we go. I think there's some pretty good guesses, are there? I thought, you know, we'd have Maybe aliens invading, or the hall falling in, or something like that. That there are some things pretty likely to happen, and some things that seem pretty unlikely. Well, we're going to read the second bit of the passage, and we're going to see what Jesus said. So remember, Jesus has just shown us he's not dead, but alive. So have a look at the little number 44. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must come true." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah," that means God's chosen king, "the Messiah will." Now let's pause before we go any further and just think about that for a moment. Imagine where we would put God's promises in the Old Testament. Would they be in the will or the not? You don't need to shout out. But just think about it. Because maybe we think, well, for sure, God's promises will come true. But we need to think about what those promises are. Just what did God promise in the Old Testament part of the Bible? What Jesus is calling the scriptures. You don't need to pop your hand up at this bit. And the big thing that we promised all the way through from the beginning is that God will rescue. That God will rescue. That's why we're here this morning. Because God rescues his people. God rescues his people. So I want you to pop your hand up. Can, apart from Jesus, okay, apart from Jesus, can anyone name a rescuer? Anyone name a rescuer?
Jesus is going to be a rescuer.
Yeah, apart from Jesus. Go on. God. Go, yeah, okay. Go on, what do you think? Anyone name a rescuer? Lifeboatman. Yeah, lifeboatman is a brilliant answer. A rescuer. Go on, Jacob.
Doctor.
A doctor. Do you rescue people?
Occasionally.
Yeah, that's true. Farmers rescue us from starvation. So I've got a few of my favourite rescuers. Let's have my first rescuer, Superman, the Man of Steel. You know when I said AI, Dave? There he is, look. The Man of Steel. Okay, we've got another one. Spider-Man. He's a great rescuer, isn't he? Then we've got the next one. This is my particular favourite. Iron Man. He's one of my favourite rescuers. And throughout the Old Testament, God promises a rescuer to rescue people from sadness and from terrible loss, to rescue people from sin and from death. And maybe we remember what the Bible says sin is. So the Bible says sin is this: saying no to God, "I'm in charge, not going to do things your way." That's what it says sin is: saying no to God, "I'm in charge, not going to do things your way." And I wonder whether any of us have ever done that. You don't have to put your hands up. But in your hearts, have you ever said, "No, God, I'm in charge, not going to do things your way"? And that's the sin that leads us to reject God and to turn away from light and life. And God says, no, that sin deserves destruction. And yet God promises to send a rescuer, not Spider-Man, not Iron Man, but a mighty warrior, a great king, come to rescue his people. And who thinks that promise will come true? Yes. That King Jesus will win. And he's going to rescue. But do you know what? His rescue is a way that is really hard to understand. And we get so used to it at Easter. But we got to get our heads around it, because Jesus wins by losing. Did you know that? That Jesus wins by losing. That's why the disciples needed to touch Jesus and to see Jesus and to see him eat fish. Because Jesus wins by dying. And you think that seems really crazy. That seems like something that should not happen. Surely, God's rescuer should look like Superman. He should look mighty. He should look strong like Iron Man over his enemies. He should capture them like Spider-Man. That's one of God's promises that should happen, isn't it? But do you know what happened? That Jesus dies in disgrace. That he's laughed at. That he's killed for something he didn't do. And he dies in disgrace. And we think, no, that's not something that should happen. How could that be? God's rescuer should look like he's winning. But the Bible says Jesus wins by losing. Just as God planned it. Just as God wrote about it. That what God said came true. Let me read the rest of the passage. We're on the little number 45, if you have your passage in front of you. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what was written. The Messiah will suffer. He will rise from the dead on the third day. His followers will preach in his name. When we think about God's promises, what will happen? Jesus shows us that he wins by losing. That he beats death by dying. And even here, 2,000 years later, we're still celebrating it, that Jesus died for our sins and was raised to bring us life. And the disciples, did you read what they'll do? They will tell others to turn away from their sins and be forgiven. People from every nation will hear it, beginning in Jerusalem. They're the biggest rescue, is that we can turn from our sins and be forgiven. If you've ever said no to God, I'm in charge, not going to do things your way. I've done that, and maybe you have too. And Jesus' rescue is that we can be forgiven. That's why Easter is such wonderful news, that Jesus wins by losing, that even though we're losers, we can win in Jesus. That he wins by losing. And let me finish by reading what happens. You've seen these things with your own eyes. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but for now, stay in the city. Stay there until you've received power from heaven. Jesus led his disciples out to the area near Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them. And he was taken up into heaven, and then they worshipped him. With great joy, they returned to Jerusalem. And every day they went to the temple praising God. So I've got one more question for you. How do you feel when someone you love goes away? Okay, how do you feel when someone you love goes away? What do you think?
Upset?
Yeah, you feel upset. What do you think?
When my mum left to look after Esther, I actually felt quite lonely.
Yeah, we feel upset, we feel lonely, feel sad. How did you feel? Yeah, go on. Yeah, we feel sad and we are anxious. How did the disciples feel when Jesus went away? Did you see it? Have a look. Little number 52. How did they feel? Great joy. Even though their friend had gone away, they rejoiced because he was coming back. Because he was victorious. Because he'd won. And because he's still coming back. And that means hope. Well, let's look back. How did we do? Did the cat come in? No. Did I eat a hot cross bun? Did I go to the toilet? No. Did I turn off my microphone? No. Did we have more questions?
Yes.
Yeah. How are we going to sing? Yeah, you can see that's on the sheet. Did I put the lid on the pen?
Yes.
Yeah. Did I speak?
Yes.
Yeah. Have I said amen?
Yes.
Do you think I'm going to say amen?
You just said amen.
I did just say amen. Yeah, we did pretty well, didn't we?
You just said amen.
Not bad. That what we thought would happen will happen. Let me think about God's promises. Jesus will come. Yes. Jesus will suffer. Yes. Jesus will die. Yes. Anyone can be forgiven by Jesus. That's why we rejoice this morning, that there is life and joy and happiness. And anyone, if they ask, can be forgiven by Jesus.